Our mind's biggest priority when processing experiences is to interpret them in such a way that they will cohere with all of our previous experiences, feelings, and beliefs. But often we run into life situations where past and present don't cohere. On such occasions, what we're experiencing in the moment flies in the face of everything we've accepted as true and reasonable about our past. In an effort to achieve coherence, our mind will sometimes, in cases like that, invent false memories. By linking our present experiences with that imagined past, our mind allows us to maintain whatever meaning we already established. As noted earlier, Meredith's story is not unique. In fact, in the 1980s and early 1990s, hundreds of innocent people were wrongly accused of sexual violence under similar circumstances. Many of them went to prison for it. For people who were dissatisfied with their lives, these suggestive explanations, combined with the sensationalizing media, there were veritable epidemics of sexual abuse and satanic violence going on, and you could be a victim too, gave people's unconscious minds the incentive to fudge their memories a bit and explain their current suffering in a way that allowed them to be victims and avoid responsibility. Repressed memory therapy then acted as a means to pull these unconscious desires out and put them into a seemingly tangible form of a memory. This process, and the state of mind it resulted in, became so common that a name was introduced for it: false memory syndrome. It changed the way courtrooms operate. Thousands of therapists were sued and lost their licenses. Repressed memory therapy fell out of practice and was replaced by more practical methods. Recent research has only reinforced the painful lesson of that era. Our beliefs are malleable and our memories are horribly unreliable. There's a lot of conventional wisdom out there telling you to trust yourself, to go with your gut, and all sorts of other pleasant-sounding cliches. But perhaps the answer is to trust yourself less. After all, if our hearts and minds are so unreliable, maybe we should be questioning our own intentions and motivations more. If we're all wrong all the time, then isn't self-skepticism and the rigorous challenging of our own beliefs and assumptions the only logical route to progress? This may sound scary and self-destructive, but it's actually quite the opposite. It's not only the safer option, but it's liberating as well. The dangers of pure certainty. Erin sits across from me at the sushi restaurant and tries to explain why she doesn't believe in death.